Today is January 30th. We're taping Chamesh Megillot. We're still in Koheles, and where we analyzed last class the Chacham and the Navi. Right? We connected them to the Navi Levav Chachma. Today we're going to discuss the Amel and the Nehneh, the striver and the one who likes to enjoy things. Now we can connect those as well. We strive in order to enjoy, right? You can picture such a person. Right. I mean, especially today, when you know we have abilities to store things, right? Not only food, but resources. So, what's so terrible if an amel is saving for a rainy day, for a time for the future, right? So the amel, well, there is nothing wrong with that, as Koheles will conclude. Right? As long as you're not living for the moment. Right? Living for the moment is bad. Right? Who lives for the moment in Bereishis? Esav. Right? I'm going to die. What do I care about the future? What does a Bechora mean to me? I have to wait for someone to die for a Bechora. I don't want to wait for that. I'm in for today. Right? I insert a drash. When Sarah sees that her stepson basically is mitzachek, that Yishmael is mitzachek in the house, she says, no, I can't have this guy in my house with my son. Right? Ramban, who is critical of Sarah for her treatment of Hagar back in chapter 16, accepts this. He justifies. Yes, Yishmael has to be cast out of the household. He's being a bad influence on. Whoa! What's so wrong with Yitzchak? He's Yitzchak, right? He's named after Tzchok, right? So look at the grammatical difference between the two. The Amal, who just wants to, or the Nana for that matter, right? Who just wants to live for the moment, that's Mitzchak in present. Makes sense why Esav would search out Ishmael's daughter to marry. Right? They're one and the same. Right? Of course, what Esav was doing there, he said, well, if mom sent Yaakov to marry her brother's daughter, I'll marry my father's daughter. Right? The end of Parshas Toldos, right? You've linked Toldos, I'm sure. You have to wait Parshas, actually. Yeah. Okay, so Yitzchak is not for the moment, but for the future. So the Amal, if he's striving for the sake of either a rainy day or something down the line, this is not something that Shlomo is decrying. What he decries is the person who puts away all this extra striving. Right? How long? Just look in the stock market. How long does it take for every crash? It's every 25 years. So what are you doing? You're putting all this money in a 401k. Every business just wipes out at some point. Every team gets into the dumps. So my point is to pursue the things in life that can stay where it is. Right? Really, one of the secrets of Koheles is that if you pursue all these other things that fade with time, that ebb with time, that some slower, some faster, they will become reus ruach. They will become rayon ra. They will become a spirit in your mind where the memories will become despicable to you because you can't do them anymore. Right? Time passes and you're finished. But if you fill your life with the things that can be sustained, I'll have to figure out what those things are, of course, but things that can be sustained, or possibly even grow on you with age, right? Then those are the things to pursue. Right? Okay. So Yitzchak is for the future. You get it? Batishak liyom acharon, says the proverbial Eishes Chayil. We say of the proverbial Eishes Chayil at the end of Mishlei. Right? or in Tehillim. Oz yimalei schok pidim. Then, down the line. Kohelis is very much against the striver who's living for the moment. I tell you a parable that appears at the end of Sanhedrin about a fox that sees a beautiful vineyard with grapes ready to eat behind the fence, but he can't slip under the fence because he's too big and he's too fat. So what does he do? He fasts for 3 days so that he can fit under the fence. And he does. He's just skinny enough to get in. What does he do? He eats all the grapes, every last grape in the vineyard. But now he's stuck inside because he gained all that weight again, and now he can't fit outside. So what does he do? He fasts for 3 days so that he can get out. Okay. Now, if you ask the fox, was it all worth it? He said, of course it was. I had a great time in there. Right? Okay. Shlomo was going to say that. That's the amal for the moment. Okay? Sooner or later, you're going to run out of the ability to do that, so it's going to take longer to fast, it's going to... whatever it is. Okay? Okay? Alright, so the neneh certainly is living for the moment. Right? The striver does not necessarily have to be striving for hana'ah. The problem with life as we have it is that you strive for things and then they blow up in your face because the stock market crashes. And 30 years of putting a sizable portion of your salary into a 401k goes poof with Bernie Madoff. Poof. Right? Just disappears. Here today, gone tomorrow. So... Coelho speaks as if though that kind of thing is inevitable. Right? But let's get back to the striver for daily survival. We started off our peoplehood as people who had to just get by the day, right? Just survive another day, that's a good day. Right? As they often say in early man, if you can get by, and this I'm sure true about the animals, if you can get by today with eating without getting eaten, it's a good day. Right? I got to eat today. I had food today. Because for much of man, and I'm sure there are some people in the world today who are still concerned with this. Every day they have to spend a large chunk of the day getting water they could drink for their large family, food for the table for that day. Right? Of course, our comforts have been vastly improved by, let's say, refrigeration and storage and much larger living conditions. You just can't believe what our own great-great-grandparents, if they came to America in the 1890s, with 7 siblings, lived in one room with curtains in different places of the room. And it's crazy. You look at some of those old pictures, and how did you live like this? Because for them, that was Gan Eden, because they were able to start storing things and to be able to have food for tomorrow. Wow, we know what we're eating tomorrow. We know what we're eating Shabbos. So just an amazing evolution of the amel, right? We can discuss what Rav Soloveitchik says about the Adam 1 and the Adam 2. Are you familiar with that? Did you have to read that in high school? There's Adam HaRishon in Perek Aleph, and there's Adam HaRishon in Perek Beis. Right? Adam HaRishon in Aleph is just something that God creates, possibly slowly, maybe over a billion years. According to one opinion in the Sechas Brachos, he has a tail. You see this? God, like everything else, every day of creation is a billion years, and man is created slowly. Right? And evolves over time until he becomes Adam 2, where he becomes someone who's presented a spouse. You don't jump from one to another like animals, because you're not an animal. You have a Nishmas Chayim in you. Right? And you're B'Tzelem Elokim. Right? So this is the Rav's way of explaining how do we have all these you know, they found, 170,000 year old teeth they just found in Israel. Did you read about that? It said that now it reconstitutes the whole island. It's in Israel now. Right? Right, recorded history doesn't go past 7,000 years or so. Right? So, you know, coincidentally. But they have all these old, you know, so these are you know, these humanoids, whatever you want to call whatever it is, you know, I've read an anthropologist's works that it was the partnership with the wolf that allowed them to survive. Have you heard this? Have you read about this?
No.
Because the wolf was domesticated to serve man, to be in packs, to be together with man. We'll help you get the food that we can hunt, because we're smarter than you. Right? I think there was the Jungle Book, I think, is like that. There's something where the boy's raised by wolves or something like that. Right? So we'll help you, and then the wolves were trained to be subservient to man. And then it became the dog. Right? So that, because if you surround yourself with 15 wolves, they can help you against those lions and tigers that you have no chance with. Right? So this is how man was able to, you know, to advance and start to invent things and hold on with your thumb with another, no other animal can do, and you know, and start to make weapons and defend yourself and start to build buildings to save yourself from the next flood. Right? So it's an amazing shita, which, by the way, I always love to, you know, to do something like this. Is that the Yerushalmi in the Sechah Shabbos says that you're not allowed to feed other animals that don't belong to you on Shabbos, because you may come to hunt them, they're muktzah. But a dog, you're allowed to feed. You're always allowed to feed a dog on Shabbos. Why? Because you have ruined them. They already said that back then, in the time of the Gemara. How have we ruined them? Because we have so domesticated them that they are simply incapable of surviving themselves. So we have to help them survive. Right? Let any cat anywhere on earth, he will survive every day. There's enough for that cat to find licking whatever he has to lick, and then he'll find the insects he needs, right? But the dog will not, unless you help him, because you ruined him by domesticating him. There's only one thing on planet Earth that can be counted on to ruin the chain that God put here, but it's so perfect, right? It's just man, right? Okay, so the Amal is also striving, right? And that striving can take on a very different form in different times. Right? Shlomo, let's open up to Perek Aleph. Here in this version, it's at the very end. Esther is earlier. So he starts off with just such a negativity. Havel havolim omar koheles, havel havolim hakol havel. Right? A lot of the things we do seven times, they say, or the collar goes around the chosen seven times, seven hakafos, all have to do with these seven hevels, right? Havel one, havolim three, havel four, havolim six, hevel seven. Right? But Ibn Ezra in his Perush says that the word Havel, the first word in the Pasuk, with the Chatav Patach, you see it, is not what some English translations often read as vanity of vanities, like Shir HaShirim, Song of Songs, Kodesh Kodashim, Holy of Holies. This holy, and this is the holiest of the holy. This is the song of all the songs. That's not what this means. That would be Hevel Havolim. Havel Havolim is a big chiddush. The first word is actually a verb. It's a tzivui. Can you hear it? I command you. Havel Havolim. Now at the end, it's a little disingenuous, because at the end it says Hakol Havel. Right. Hakol means most of what you're at. Like if you hear a saying that says, don't sweat the small stuff. And it's mostly small stuff. Right? In other words, he's saying, make Hevel into Hevel. treat Hevel the way it should be treated. The problem is that we raise Hevel to be more than it should be. And then we lose sight on what's real. Okay? As is necessary when learning Koheles or Mishlei for that matter, you always have to use Maisa Shahaya. I go back 30 years, 1988. We had a weekend, Labor Day weekend, for a singles group in my shul. We took over a hotel, and I remember it was if I'm correct, it was 88, maybe 89, but there was a very early slichas. Labor Day weekend was slichas already. So I had to go back to my shul after Shabbos from, I think it was in Woodburn, New York, or upstate. To go back to my shul for slichas, and then after slichas was over at like 1 o'clock, I went back to the hotel for Sunday programming. Right. So when I got back, it was about maybe already 2:30 or so, you know, and they still had a program in the auditorium. The program was an improv group that I think still exists. It was called Chicago City Limits. It was an improv group.
Still around.
Okay. So they, and the place was packed at 2:30 in the morning. And I was amazed that when I got back, it was still lights on and everyone was still out. You know, these are singles, you know, they slept Shabbos afternoon, they're up late. Yeah. So I got to the entrance of the auditorium. I said, "What's going on here? This place is..." And she said, "Shh." And the front stage was way, way down at the end of the auditorium. But it was a pin drop and the place was packed. Right? This stood in stark contrast to what I would call earlier that day, I mean, the day before Shabbos, right? Where during Kriyas HaTorah, you couldn't hear the Bal Kore if you were 5 or 10, 6 or 7 rows away. Because there was so much talking. You know, people didn't know one another. They were talking a lot. And the place wasn't full because not everyone was coming on time, right? What a contrast. Havel Havalim, right? For this Hevel, I'm not saying we brought in this company to entertain them, right? I can give many other examples of this. It's just that we come up with such an enthusiasm for ridiculous things, and then we don't have that same enthusiasm for the things that are real. So that's what he's commanding us. Havel Havalim. Okay? If I could give another popular example is from a honeymoon. It was an episode. Have you ever heard of honeymooners? It was a good. So he's invited to his boss's house and he's complimenting his boss's wife. Shmei HaShemayim. Every single thing she does is so perfect and so wonderful. So when they get home, his wife says, "You know, you really poured it on thick with your boss's wife there." He goes, "Oh, Alice, come on. I'm up for a promotion in a couple of weeks. There are a bunch of us up for the same promotion. Maybe, you know, if he's talking to his wife about it, maybe she'll pull me over the top because she remembers how nice that was." So she says, "It doesn't bother me one iota that you praised your boss's wife to the end of the heavens. What bothers me is
you don't praise me that way.
You never talk to me that way. And I'm your wife." Right? I can cut you some slack about what you feel you need to do for her. Why do you take me for granted? That's the answer. We take God for granted. God's the, you know, ever-loving spouse is always there when we come home. So in the time of Yirmiyahu, you know, time of Ashur, the prophets Yishayahu, Yirmiyahu had to say, "Well, not anymore. You're not going to find this home. In fact, I'm kicking you out of the home sometime." All right? So that's the danger of turning what should be Hevel into something more important. I'll tell you, I find a klal gadol in Tanakh, because most of the earlier parts of the prophets who came to talk to us, I mean, Micha, Amos, Yishayahu, Yirmiyahu, you know what I'm saying, Hosea, if I can encapsulate the message of these prophets, right, it is that they feel that the people are very possibly, very likely, scrupulously attendant to the ritualistic laws, especially the korbanos, right? The problem is that they have lost the moralistic component of the nation. You're behaving like the Goyim, where for them, the rituals mean everything. And you don't have to be moral. Right? No one's thinking, is it right that we should offer the blood of our firstborn child for a God? What kind of God demands such a tribute? Right? No one's thinking of asking that. It's the virgin's turn to be offered. I'm sorry, it fell on you. You got to go. Do you have to do it for your people? Right? Everything you do is to strengthen your God so that he's powerful enough to make you win your next war and make your next harvest successful. Right? And if someone else conquers us, it's time to worship the God of the one who conquered us, because he's obviously vanquished our God. That's what we're looking at in the ancient world. Right? So that's what we became. We started to live a life like that. Everything was ritualistic. Right? I'm sure you've been through enough Nevi'im Achronim to feel that, right? So the last of the Nevi'im turns that on its head. It's Malachi. Malachi, you know, he does mention truth-telling and Mishpat and Tzedakah, but his main objection is that you're not offering the right kind of korbanos. Right? Would you offer such a korban for your governor? Right? I think Malachi is the harbinger for our problem today. Today, well, our problem is not Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. Come on, if I sent out an email tonight, one of the members of our shul is going to lose her eyesight tomorrow if we don't raise $175,000 for a certain treatment, I'd have double that amount. I mean, of course, it depends on the amount, depends on the resources of the community, but we'd find it. We'd do the charity thing, whatever it is, but we'd find it. We'd find a matcher, we'd find a, you know. I'm not worried about it. We have so much Tomchei Shabbos, we have so much helping women get gitten, and so this chesed is boundless in our community, I have to tell you. Sometimes it's more than needed. We're just looking for chesed to do. And so our problem is, you know, is now it's turned on its head. It's the other side. So that's what Perek Aleph is about in Koheles. What's important to you? What are you making important? All right. So he starts by saying Hakol Hevel, because, and it's very interesting. It's really quite fascinating. How much what continues now about that which just repeats itself. There are cycles of life that just, it's so predictable. And what I said before about the 401k, that's just, you know it's going to crash at some point. You can't sustain this ad infinitum. Whether it's 10 years, 20 years, but then you know it's going to crash at some point, then we'll build back again. Right? So, Koheles astonishingly uses the sun, uses running water, and motion. Right, the next two pesukim, the sun rises, the sun sets, all the waters go into the streams, and every one of these is profoundly darshaned in Chazal for different things. But the point is, he wraps it up by saying, Masha hayahu shehiyeh, masha nasahu sheyoseh. Ein kol chadosh tachas ha-shemesh. Pasuk says. Right? Nothing new under the sun. Right? So Chazal darshan, yeah, under the sun there's nothing new. But there are lots of things that you can do above the sun. Really? What's that? The things of Alamala, things that are the Layla, What's beneath the sun are those things not worth striving for. But I don't mean to say that everything is like that. But you see, ever hear the disputes between Parmenides and Heraclitus about the paradoxes of motion, Zeno's paradoxes, you ever seen? Right. I'll tell you that calculus had... have you taken the calculus courses? All right. Okay, but calculus is it has some origins in some of these debates amongst the Greeks about how things, whether motion is an illusion or not. Right? I mean, I'll tell you, it does enter out the Talmud in the beginning of Maseches Shabbos and a few places in Maseches Erevin, and of course in Perek HaZorik, in the He's the 11th pair of the seven shocks, which is that if you could, I'll just say if you could picture it. If I throw something from this room on Shabbos, and outside is Rishus Rabban, and it goes into that other building, right? So you're chayef two chadases, because it's stopping at every. I mean, and you have to know the way calculus works with, let's say, a parabola where you know, you have your limits. See how this works with sine, cosine, it's trigonometry, I think. You can also get this, right? And then you add up the, you know, because squares you can add up. And straight lines you can add, you can find the area of a straight line. So, anyway, I'm this is very, very, not preliminary, of course. But so he uses the examples that are found in the Greek sources about motion here to say that everything remains the same. Now, that's the opinion that I believe it's Ben Azai in the Gemara who talks about. It's in the Sechas Gittin. I'm getting that if, let's say, a man is here, and the woman's airspace is here, right? And he throws her a get. Have you heard of this? Can you imagine? And the get enters her airspace, and then an eagle grabs it and takes it away. Or, as long as there are eidim that can say, yes, this is what it was, we gave it to him. So as soon as it enters her airspace, it's hers. She's divorced. Even before the Nasan B'Yodah says, Yodah, this is also Yodah. Right? Gemara says, you know, it says he took these cities mi yodo. It means he took it from his possession. Somebody thought he gave it to possession, so it's as if though it's stationary there. So too, there you have these. But here it's in the philosophical notion. I don't think Corrales cares about whether the water is flowing from one body to another, or actually moving or not. He's just saying that you know everything is a cycle. What are we? How are we going to inject newness into this? Right. That's really Amal's challenge. You say Ein Kol Chodosh, and I say I want to find a way to inject Hischatshus, because Hischatshus is the stuff of life. It makes life worth living and interesting. And so Shlomo is starting off by saying if you appeal to the wrong things. And you're going to say, look, this is new. Kvar yada olamim, asher yada olamim. And you see that word kvar? Kvar in Pasuk Yud. This is the only book where that word appears. In fact, if you look at the Das Mikra to his introduction to Koheles, there are lots of introductions. There's all kinds of introductions. Introduction about the contradictions in Koheles. Introductions about the canonization of Koheles. One of his introductions talks about words that only appear in Sefer Koheles in the Tanakh. In other words, they're hapax. Hapax legomena means a word that only appears once. It's a hapax legomena to Koheles. But it appears, kvar appears a few times in Koheles. But not in any other book. Okay, remember this. There are 222 words, 222 psukim in Koheles. Kvar. Kaf bet resh. Alright? It's a kvar kind of book. Everything's been done. Right? Okay. Pasuk Yud Aleph says, "Ein zichron l'rishonim, v'gam l'achronim shehiyu lo yihyeh lahem zichronim shehiyu l'achrona." Is this necessarily true? It's usually true. I'll ask you, can you tell me the names of your grandparents' grandparents? You know, any one thing they did? If you can, it's good. Maybe you're much younger. I know my great-grandparents. And I was living at a time where we never knew grandparents. You know, Holocaust survivors, kids, didn't know grandparents. Right? So you know four generations back? Really? My sister's granddaughter just got married. So that means my father's great-granddaughter just got married. That's unheard of. Right? All right, but he's just saying that, you know, everyone's forgotten, so what are you striving for? You're right. You know, you're right. Strive for the things that will last. Don't, because you're going to ask, what are people going to say about this anyway? Don't spend so much extra money at the wedding that everyone's going to forget tomorrow. Live a life where your cheshbon is what's going to be lasting and what's not. Don't put all your energies into things that are going to be forgotten anyway. Right? Okay. All right, so at the end of Perek Aleph, he tries through Chochma to find the truth. And his conclusion is Pasuk Yud Ches, Ki Berov Chochma Rov Kaas. Forget it. Chochma just gave me more anger. The Yosef Das, Yosef Machov. The more knowledge you have, Chochma is usually translated as wisdom, Das is knowledge. You have to have Das in order to be a Chacham. Right? You don't necessarily have to have Chochma in order to attain Das. Das is the foundation. You have to have, so it's Eitz HaDas, right? Yosef Machov. You're just going to have more pain. That's the human experience. Now, he'll tell us the rest of this book, but he starts off right away in Perek Beis. Maybe it's Hana. Right? Is a duck happier than we are? No, what is a duck? I mean, here's the point of Koheles. The more happiness you have, the more potential you have for, be careful. That's all about life. Right? Tell someone who has six children, you have three children now. Tell someone who has three children, you have three children now. Of course, I know that. This person put more into the world, and you know, the more you put in, be careful, the more you could lose. Strive for the things that you can hold on to. Understand the cycles of what goes on. There's nothing new about that. So in Perek Beis, he says, you know what? Let me try physical hana. And this is what the Das Mikra does very, very well in Perek Beis. He shows how every single element, it's a big perek too. It's a long perek. 26 pikkun. Right? He shows how everything that this Nehenne tries to do, of course, this is the traditional way to read Koheles, has psukim in Sefer Melachim Aleph, parallel to Shlomo's life. Hear it? Okay, Chazal say that Koheles was written by Chizkiyahu. Remember, we talked about that in the intro. That he put it into workable order. There's no doubt that it, you know, traditional approach is that this is Shlomo. Even if you want to say it's someone else, he's going to look at Shlomo's life to mirror in this parak. Right, but the traditional approach is that this is Shlomo, and it does mirror his life. Okay? So he says, you know, towards the 20s, and his point, you know, the upshot of the parak is miyachush yoser mimeni. Who had an ability? Pasuk kafei, miyachush chutz mimeni. Who has the ability to test whether hana'a can give you meaning in life more than I? Right? Maybe a Saudi Arabian prince. I don't know. You have 700 concubines and 300 wives. Another woman every 2 hours? Is that really what's going to give you the meaning in life? Where every single one of those women is spending every living long minute of their lives trying to convince you that their son should be the next king? It's really a good life? I take you to another parable. You ever hear Twilight Zone? So there's one episode where this guy, the opening episode, he's being shot while he's robbing a bank. And you can't tell whether he actually escapes those shots or he's hit. Turns out you find out that he's actually hit, and he goes to the next world, and the next world is perfect. Everything he ever wanted in the world is in this place. It's like a huge hotel, and he can play pool all day, he can swim, he has beautiful women after him every moment, right? And it's going on and on and on for years and years and years. Every night a nightclub, every night a show, every night wonderful food, breakfast, lunch, dinner, everything he ever lived for. And it goes on for a few hundred years. And every time he shoots the cue, all the balls go in. Women are all after him. And after a few hundred years, he says, you know, I don't like this anymore. This is getting crazy, driving me nuts. I can't keep doing this every day. I want to go to the other place. I shouldn't have been in heaven. I was killed doing robbing a bank. Right? I want to go to the other place. That's more like the kind of life I would have wanted. So then the proprietor says, you don't know what you're talking about. This is the other place. You're stuck here forever. Right? Be careful what you like doing in this world. You may just have to do it for the rest of eternity. And then you'll have to pray for the end of time. Okay, so Mi Yochush Chutz Mimeni. We'll cross this guy out right away. Don't try. Right? Okay. So, I want to make my way through Kohelis. Chapter 3 is a very famous, perhaps the most famous chapter of the book. It's like called Ace. There's time for everything. The birds, Bob Dylan wrote a song about it. Did you hear it? Turn. Listen to it. Like maybe it's before the next class. Interesting song. And it's not parallel. Sometimes the good thing is first, and the good thing is last. But one thing is clear, is that there is a time for all 28 of them. What number is 28 in Judaism? What number goes to 28? Right, it's the amount of letters in the first pasuk in the Torah. It's the amount of letters in the first pasuk in the Sefer HaDibros. Interesting. Sefer HaGan points this out.
It's also the amount of letters in
something else. Okay, but 28 is the amount of time it takes the sun to make a cycle where it rises back where it did at the time of creation, which is known as Birchas HaChama. Okay? I'll start with that next class, Mitzvah Hashem, with a connection of Kohelis Perek Gimel. And I'll tell you about a letter I wrote to Cardinal O'Connor when he said that it's when America went into Iraq for the first time in 1991, he went public saying it's never the time for war. Must always be a time for peace, and I wrote him a letter with this parak and Kohelis. I'll tell you about it. Okay, we'll continue from there. Mitzvah Shem. Have a great day.
Have a good day.